I love worshiping God together with you all. It's just awesome. For those of you that are visiting today, my name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and we want to welcome you to Catalyst Christian Church of Hell and wanting the gift of heaven and makes us delight in Jesus Christ. That's the essence of Christianity. And the third thing, after the gospel unifies the church and the gospel blesses the church, then God says, I'm going to send my church. The gospel sends the church. And this is where I get fired up, you guys. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Verse 21, as I have become a missionary, I'm sending you as a missionary. There's a guy named Millard Fuller. He was doing very, very well in business. He was head of the HR department at a huge, huge company. And one day he came downstairs for breakfast, and he was eating breakfast, and his wife said, so going to work today, are you? And he goes, yep. And she said, wonderful. Go make rich men richer. That's all your job does. And he said, excuse me? And she said, you heard me, and walked out. And that bothered him so much when he went to the office that day. It bothered him so much that at the end of the day, he walked into his boss's office and said, I resign. Done. I'm not giving a 2-week, I'm done. Walked and came home. Wife said, how was work? He said, I quit. She goes, what? I didn't mean for you to do that. He goes, no, I'm going to quit. I quit because you're exactly right. My job is not doing nothing but making rich men richer. And so I'm going to do something different. And his wife said, well, what are you going to do? He said, on the way home, I drove by Main Street, and I saw some homeless people. What I'm going to do, I'm going to start an organization that builds houses for homeless people. And we're going to do things the way the Bible says. We're not going to do any interest on the loans. The Bible says not to charge interest on poor people. The Bible says to do that. We're not going to charge interest on loans. The only cost will be the building materials. And the wife said, well, who's going to do the work? And he said, we're going to get church people to do it. And now, 30 years later, his organization, Habitat for Humanity, has built more than 100,000 homes for poor people, charging only the cost of building materials, loans at no interest. And there are 100,000 more to be scheduled for the next 5 years. I just have one question for us all. Why do we do things the way the world says we have to do them? Have you ever stopped to ask that? The gospel sends the church not to do things the way the world says to do them, but to do things the way God says to do them. Why do we go along with this world and not question it? Why are we so astounded when people like Millard Fuller use their business and expertise to do things like Habitat? And we're even more astounded, they don't charge interest. They follow what the Bible says. Why are we so astounded by that? Now, Rachel and I, now that we're in our 40s, we started looking at retirement stuff. We had several different scattered investments. I had a 401k from one church and a 403b from another church and some investments there and there. And got approached by a guy that is from a Christian investing firm called Thrivent. And I sat down with him. He said he wanted to sit down with me. And he said, bring your portfolio and bring everything like that. And so I brought it and showed him all my portfolio stuff. And he goes, fantastic. Where's your portfolio? And I said, that's it. He goes, oh. He goes, well, Mr. Kibler, do you know when you're going to die? And I said, no. Why? And he said, well, if you did know, you could retire about 30 minutes before then. Okay? That's what he said, okay? I could tell that he wasn't real happy that I was his client. Obviously, I wasn't going to make him very wealthy. But he started telling me about this company called Thrivent. It's a Christian investing company. And it's a good investment company. But the thing that I loved was that each year for each member, they give you $250 twice a year to do ministry. Not of your money, of theirs. They say, we want ministry being done in the name of our company, so we're going to give our people $250 twice a year to do ministry. That's money out of their pocket. They're doing things differently than other companies. Why? Because they're Christians and they're going to do things the way the Bible says to do. Okay? And it's amazing. It really is. You know, God hasn't called us all to Honduras or to India or to Africa. He hasn't. Sometimes he calls to run our regular businesses the way that are dictated by Scripture. How about our homes? Matthew 25 tells us that wherever we do for the least, the lowest, the uncool, the discouraged, the disadvantaged, the poor, the helpless, the vulnerable, whatever we've done for them, we've done for him. All right? January 3rd, and I'm laying down a challenge here, and I'm serious about this. January 3rd, which is in about a month, we're going to be celebrating Orphan Sunday. Most of the time, that's the first Sunday in November, but because of this series, we didn't do that. We're going to be celebrating Orphan Sunday on January 3rd. And I've been talking with Paul Del Rio about the stats, about people that need adoption. Right now, in the Southern Bluegrass region of Kentucky, Fayette, Jessamine, Mercer, Clark, Madison, Estill, Boyle, Lincoln counties. That's our region. Okay? There are 537 children ready to be adopted. 537 children that need homes. All right? And I'm going to ask, out of this church, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet, and I'm going to ask for 10 families, 10, to commit on January 3rd to rescuing 10 or more children out of the foster care system and adopt them as your children and raise them as your children. That's what I'm going to ask you. I'm telling you a month in advance because I want you to pray about it, but I'm going to ask for 10 families that are not currently adopting, not currently fostering, to do that and make a difference in 2016. Why? Because the gospel sends the church. We are the church. We're about the work of the church. And you say, well, how in the world is that the work of the work of God? Well, Psalm 68:6 says this: God sets the lonely in families. Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. And I can't think of anyone more lonely than an orphan child needing parents who's ready to be adopted. So I'm telling you, I'm laying down the gauntlet. I'm asking for 10 families. And let's decrease that number from 537 to at least 527, if not more. I'm challenging that. I want you to be in prayer about that. One last challenge. One last challenge. Working in prisons has opened up an entire world to me that I never knew existed. Maybe I didn't want to know it existed. Okay? I didn't want to know about it. It was just too broken. It was too messy. This past Thanksgiving, our church, you all, led by Suzanne Short, delivered Thanksgiving meals to 12 families of men who were in me and my dad's prison ministry classes. The gratitude and the thankfulness of these families has been amazing. It's been astounding. Most of them weren't going to have a Thanksgiving until you all came through. I believe of the 12 men who signed up to have their families represented, there were 25 children represented by those men. I would imagine if they weren't going to have Thanksgiving, they weren't going to have Christmas either. So here's the thing, why don't we do Christmas for the children? We bless them with Thanksgiving, why can't we do Christmas? What if, just a thought, we were to buy $50 worth of gifts for the children, age appropriate, of course, and gave them to the moms to give them from Santa on Christmas morning? Why not start an ongoing ministry to the families of these men that are incarcerated? Families are the victims. They didn't do anything. They're the ones that have to live with the stigma of incarceration. They're the ones that have to cope with the absence, the loss of income, the everything, the danger that comes with that. If I got a list of names and age of the children and what they want for Christmas and brought it in next week, who would be willing to take a name and go Christmas shopping for a child? Who would be willing to do that? Could we do that? Could we pull that off? Is the church big enough to do that? I think so. 25 children, I'll have that list next week. I'll have that list next week, and you all have 1 week to get the gifts, bring them in on the 20th, and we'll deliver them that week. Okay? Guys, I'm serious about this. The gospel doesn't just unify the church. The gospel doesn't just bless the church. The gospel sends the church to do the work of God in his world. Okay? And if you guys want to know what it's all about, when I was a youth minister, I used to take my students to different churches. And one of my favorite stories happened. Yeah, I don't care if you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell it again. It happened. We went to St. Stephen's Baptist Church up in Louisville. So it's a black charismatic church. Man, it's awesome. It's kicking. And we happened to be there at Student Recognition Sunday. They recognize all the students, and they got the students up there on stage, and they were telling what they were going to do. It was graduation Sunday. And they said, well, I'm going to college. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to college. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be, you know, all these things and everything. And it was a big celebration. Well, after that, the pastor got up there, and all the kids were sitting down right here. And he looked right at him, and he pointed his finger right at him, and he goes, children! You're going to die. It's a good thing to tell kids. You don't think you're going to die, but one of these days, they're going to take you out to the cemetery. They're going to drop you in the hole, going to throw some dirt in your face, and they're going to go back to the church and eat potato salad. He said, when you were born, children, you was crying. Everybody else was happy. That's not the question, children. The question is, when you die, are you going to be the only one that's happy? And everyone else is crying. He goes, depends on what you're living for, children. Titles or testimonies. And then he did what only a black preacher could do. He swept through the entire Bible in 5 minutes. Okay? White guys like me can't do that. Okay? It's not in the genes. You know, you've heard us preach today, church. We're going to exegete the second verse of the second chapter of Romans. You know, but not this guy, man. He goes, there was Moses and there was Pharaoh. Pharaoh had the title, ruler of Egypt. That's a good title, children. It's a great title. But when it's all over, Moses had the testimony. But Pharaoh just had the title. And my blood started going, you know. And then he went, there was Elijah and there was Jezebel. Jezebel had the title, queen. That's a good title, queen. Good title, queen. When it was all over, all she had was a title, but Elijah had the testimony. I started getting a little bit more fired up, you know. My blood started boiling. He goes, and there was Daniel, and there was King Darius. King Darius had the title, king. That's a good title, king, king. When it was all over, all he had was a title, but Daniel had the testimony. And at that point, I forgot I was white, and I stood up and I go, keep going, man. Keep going. And then he wasn't done. He went to the New Testament. He goes, there was Jesus and there was Pilate. Pilate had the title, governor of Judea. It's a good title, children. It's a great title. When it was all over, all he had was a title, but Jesus had the testimony. Keep going. People. What's it going to be when you die? What are people going to do? Are they going to stand around your grave and list all your titles? Or are they going to be standing around your grave giving testimonies of how the gospel changed you, blessed you, and sent you to do the work of Jesus? Will there be an adopted child at your graveside saying, I wouldn't have had a mom. I wouldn't have had a dad without them. Will there be people saying, I would not be a believer in Christ if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her? Will there be people all around the world mourning, sending in emails, sending in notes about the impact that you had on their eternity? That's all that matters. Guys, the gospel unifies the church, blesses the church, and sends the church. And that's all there is. And if you need to move into a relationship with Jesus Christ and begin living for testimonies, then you need to let us know. You need to let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Don't walk out these doors the same way you were when you walked in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your gospel. I thank you so much for this series where we've looked at the gospel. We've looked at how our sin has caused your suffering, how your suffering led to death, and how your death led to the resurrection. And Lord, I pray that as we've looked at the responses to the resurrection, that Lord, you would call us and send us. Lord, hear us now as your people take your word and give it back to you in the form of praise. We love you. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen.